さんが聞こえればいいんですが、同じスピードでスライドをまくっていってもらいます。So today I would like to share an important lesson I recently learned. In the past several years, I have gone through several relocations in the U.S. And with that, I also went through some really tough situations. I was hospitalized, and then I also had a car accident, and also had a theft of my whole belonging in the U.S. when I had all my stuff in a storage. But because of the relocations and going around many places, I also had opportunities to hear many different pastors' messages. I noticed during this period, all the passages, all the messages are pointing one direction to me. Somehow they're all connected and made sense to me. There was one overarching idea. So that's what I'm going to share today with you. So someone once told me that there is one thing we Christians must carry with us anywhere we go and what we must immerse ourselves with anywhere we go. This guy talked about going to a different country from Argentina, and he asked for his friend to come and, you know, don't bring anything, it's just a day trip. And the guy didn't bring a passport. So why didn't you bring a passport? And he said, well, you told me don't bring anything. There are many situations as Christians just can imagine to go into, but there is a thing that you always have to carry. What is that? What is that? I thought it was a Bible maybe, or a cross, but the answer was blood. It is blood. The blood here is a symbol of salvation. We are forgiven by the sacrifice of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And with his blood, we claim our salvation. Blood is a way we self-identify ourselves as the forgiven and adopted sons and daughters of the one true God. We must always cover ourselves with the blood of Christ. So that was one message I heard. This particular message of the blood goes back to the Old Testament, the story of the Passover. As you know, when the Israelites were held in Egypt, God sent the angels of death. 死の天使を送ったと書いてるんですね。Angels of death to destroy the firstborn sons of Egypt. So this is a passage we have read today, and we have read it, so I guess we can skip it to the next one. The message said that there are three things, really, that people have to do here with the blood. Three things.You can't really tell by reading it. But one, number one, bring the blood. Get the actual blood in a bucket. Bring it. They have to sacrifice an animal, a lamb per household, and get a bucket of blood. Think of this for a moment. The angels of death are coming to destroy your neighborhood. I would want something more stronger, that something makes me feel more secure, like a sword, a digital, whatever the cutting edge machine gun may be, but instead it was this liquidy animal substance God ordered them to have. How encouraging is that? How comforting is that? I feel very protected right now, of course not. Number five, please. So here's the second thing the Israelites had to do with the blood, that is, believe in the blood. Believe in this bucket of blood, that this is actually a powerful substance that would protect them and save them. But even the belief wasn't enough. Having the blood and believing what it can do would not actually prevent the attack of the death. What did they have to do? Number three, the reason is apply the blood, use the blood, actually apply it on the doorstep and put it into action. 早くないですか?大丈夫ですか?読めてますか？早いですか？大丈夫ですか？はい、ヒソプの、pictures, ヒソプ写真ですね。The ancient Israelites will eventually develop a form of cleansing rituals using the animal sacrifice and purification by the sprinkling the sacrifice blood. Just like the cleansing ritual, in the scene of the Passover, God ordered the people to apply the blood of lamb over the doorstep for their survival.ヒソプをその時使いなさいって言ったんです。ヒソプは清め の役目があるらしく、いろんな箇所に聖書にもちろん出てくるんですが、In a way, this is the people had to do physically put the blood, the tool for salvation given by God, into its folios. However ridiculous and irrelevant it seemed to their reality. Christians today do not have to sacrifice animals, as the book of Hebrews says. In the chapter 9, 12, verse 9 and verse 22, Jesus was the only and last sacrifice, and he did it once for all. So we must again bring the blood, believe in it, and apply it in our lives. So that was one message I heard. But how do we bring his blood? Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago. We cannot go back in time to bring his blood in a bucket. And how do we apply the blood over our lives anyway? That's what I thought. Besides, even if I understand the significance of the cross, it seems that the ancient crucifixion seems to have not so much connection with my very real and practical problems in my life. So how do we apply the blood? The pastor's explanation was like this. You apply the blood with this, not with hyssop anymore, but with this. And he went like this. With your tongue. Study. With your tongue, you apply his blood. We claim we cover ourselves with the blood of Lamb when we apply the word of God in any situation. In today's Christian lives, we proclaim that the blood of the Lamb was shed for our sins. In every situation where we feel the angels of death are about to face us, we can proclaim the blood of Jesus, our salvation, the promise of the victory. Romans 10 verse 10 also says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Number 9, please. As Israelites display that they are the redeemed people of God, we practice this embodiment of salvation, displaying our victory and confessing what God has done and is doing with our lives. Application of the blood, which is a symbol of our salvation, here in today's context, is applying God's word in our problems and hardships. Think of it this way. Jesus himself used the Bible to battle against the evil. I don't know if you believe in the existence of Satan, but Jesus seemed to believe it, and he had dialogues with the enemy. In his trials, which was written in the book of Matthew, he had quoted the Bible to fight, "Get away, Satan, for it is written," he said. If our Lord had used the Bible scriptures to battle against his hardships, how much more should we need to depend on the Word of God? So the guy who was telling me the story of the blood said he actually practiced this using the Word of God in his life in the same way Jesus did. Number 10, please. So he had a notebook, and in the notebook on the top he wrote, "Get away from me, Satan, for it is written." And on the right side, he listed his troubles, things he needed, anxieties, and fear. Then he looked for the biblical passages that seemed to be the answers to those concerns. Then on the left side, listed them as answers to those problems. I'll show you the examples. It's like this. Yeah, the example of the notebook, please. Number 11. Yeah, that's right. So, away from Satan. And he has the problems on the right, left side, sorry, and the right side. He listed all the problems. So he found his answers to his personal problems through going through the Bible and applying it. And that was really assuring for him to do. Number 12, please. This guy really believed the Word of God has power to change his life. John chapter 1, verse 1 claims, The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Genesis, first chapter also shows that this world was created through God's spoken word. God's word can create the world, and even lives, it has power. So why not use this word that is given to us? And by the way, this is how the pastor learned the Bible, I said, but this guy is actually... he does a theological checkups for this worldwide mega church, Hillsong, you might have heard of too. So whatever the church branches do as events or whatever the messages the pastors give, he's the one who, it goes through him. So he would check it if it's biblically sound. I think it's significant that this guy who's like a theological expert even learned the Bible through his own personal problems. So how about us? I have studied the Bible, even memorized some scriptures because it seems like it's a thing to do in a Baptist college. Jim Allison and I went to Baptist college. We have to memorize lots of scriptures. I also did that because it was probably encouraging. I felt good memorizing those words. But what I have learned from this story of Passover is that God's word exists separately from what I see, what my circumstances, and how I feel. It is great if I feel strongly with God's word, but what matters here is that the scripture, what the scriptures and messages tell me, is that it doesn't matter how I feel or what my circumstance is. I'm thinking about actually the wall of Jericho here, when I went through lots of difficulties. You know, you go through one desert and then lots of calamities, and finally you get through the wall of Jericho. God said, see, I have given this city to you. But imagine, after all these terrible things, they finally got through the Jericho. All they see is the wall. All they see is the wall. Finally, they thought they were going to have a normal life, regular life, without wondering. What they have is the wall. What do you mean, God? See, I have given you this city. All I see is the wall. The result, you know this. Sorry, that's not in the page. Sorry, I'm confusing my husband. But the wall of Jericho, the story goes that, you know, they actually obey God's word to do ridiculous circling of the wall. I'm sure the people of Jericho were looking at them and laughing at them, mocking them. But they did that nonetheless. What they saw is like the Pentagon wall for the flock of farmers to stand against, right? There's nothing they could do. But they nonetheless carried out God's word, and that's how they overcome the situation. So what I learned is that my life should not depend on a precarious, changeable finance, relationships, unstable feelings and situations, but instead, my life should depend on the never-changing and all-powerful Word of God. What matters is God's Word and how it can work and how we can put it into this God-given tool of faith into practice. So how do we apply this Word of God on our lives? Still 13? Yes? No, not yet. 13. Just as the Israelites painted their doorsteps with thick layers of blood, right? One way we can just do this is like the pastor's note. We can write out our problems and combat your present issues with God's word. Another way is to paint our relationships and situations with God's word. Like, maybe you can... I'm thinking, what if you speak your words, God's word, to each other in our family? What if we do that at work? When you are driving to our children, maybe? Would this be different? Do we actually believe that God's word has a power to change our lives? You can do all this, a painting of God's word, when you're commuting, when you can quote scriptures to praise God and pray to Him, all the circumstances. Number 14. How would our life be different in troubles if troubles and fear we proclaim God's promise? To identify ourselves as the redeemed children of God who are surely favored by Him and waiting to receive God's blessings, and combat the situations with the powerful Word of God. Instead of iterating what terrible places you are in and how hard the situation is, we can instead confess or profess what God is capable of doing in our situations. Hebrews 10:23 also says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." If the Almighty God gave up His own Son to save you, if God Himself came down to lay His life for you, why wouldn't He be willing to save you from any trouble, terrible situation, help you and guide you in your relationships, finance, and sicknesses, right? So we apply this promise of salvation in our lives just like the Israelites painted their door fronts with the blood of lambs. We can paint where the fear once was with the hope we have in God. So remember, just as the three things in the Israelites did with the blood, we can remember to, one, bring the blood. Get the substance, actual material in your hands. We all have the Bible, maybe we can open it. Number two, believe in the power of the blood. Believe in the power of God's word. The salvation and God's love and power, all of it in here. Number three, apply the blood. Use your tongue, apply the blood, God's word. Let God's word cover over your troubles. Like that, we can practice this application of blood. Finally, honestly, looking back through all my troubles, my prayers were often filled with complaints and requests that marked my fear mostly, and not my faith. Because I had lots of tangible needs, like, you know, finance need to be met, and insurance, tax, visa, all these things. But just like me, you may also feel at times that the angels of death are staring right in your face. I use dramatic word because that's how you feel when you actually get into the traffic accident. And you may not feel very protected with a bucket of blood or this tiny book, but focusing on what God has promised and confessing with your mouth what He can do instead of what you see and feel. Well, that has proven to be a victorious choice of action for the Israelites. If I am so fear-stricken and cannot mobilize my best faith in Christian actions, and I'm still like that, I think. Even then, if I could just reach out to the scriptures and let the God's word cover my life, then I think that may be a tiny step of my faith indeed. So let us profess what God will do with the blood of the precious Lamb. Let us pray. Loving Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you that you have given us the faith and the promise of eternal life. Help us to use your word, help us to use the Bible, really maximize it for our benefit, for our life and others. And thank you for all the power that you already have and the blessings you have in store for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.